about this type of treachery. He knew about what it felt like to be the victim of slander, to be falsely accused. Psalm 7 is his appeal to Jehovah for justice. It's his appeal for vindication. Apparently, from the psalm, King Saul, before David became king, Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin. And in our psalm, in the beginning of it, in what we might say the introduction, there's the mention of Cush, who's a member of that tribe. And so this leads us to believe that David had been falsely accused by him to the king. So David implores God for preservation, for justification, for vindication from his enemies. And he begins the psalm by proclaiming his innocence. Psalms 7, the first five verses, they constitute a proclamation of innocence. O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me, and deliver me, lest they tear me like a lion, rending me in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there is iniquity in my hands, if I have repaid evil to him who is at peace with me, or have plundered my enemy without cause, let the enemy pursue me and overtake me. Yes, let him trample my life to the earth and lay my honor in the dust. David's proclaiming his innocence here. He says, if I have done anything to deserve this, then so be it. I deserve it. But he said, I haven't done anything. I am innocent of these accusations. And he begins by painting this picture of a lion tearing a lamb to pieces. He says that describes how deeply the wounds of the tongue are cutting his soul. He says it feels like a lion is ripping my soul in two. It's tearing me apart. And maybe you felt that way. Maybe you felt that way from people who have slandered you, who have lied about you, who have falsely accused you, who have gossiped about you. David says that's what it feels like. Like your insides are being ripped apart. Slander hurts. You know that old saying about sticks and stones? Names, calling of names, that does hurt. Hurts a lot. Slander hurts. Lies can cause damage that lasts for a lifetime. Reputations can be damaged. The Bible says that persecution in many different forms by the world is to be expected by Christians. Jesus even warned his disciples that this very easily could happen. In John 15, Jesus warns his disciples about the possibility. John 15, beginning in verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. He said, don't be surprised if you're persecuted. Don't be surprised. We know that the slandered are often innocent. And the one who slanders often has some evil motive. They're wanting to ruin somebody. They're wanting to cause pain to somebody. They're wanting to damage their reputation. So they tell lies. They falsely accuse them of things. In the Old Testament, we read about the opportunity that one, when one was accused, he could go to the temple. And he could take a solemn oath, asking God to receive his affirmation that he was innocent, that he was righteous, that what he was saying was true. So if someone slandered you, someone falsely accused you, you could do that. And we find in the Old Testament on more than one occasion where people were before others declaring the fact that they were indeed innocent. That what was being said about them were lies. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, beginning in verse 16, notice what the author says here about that very thing. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 16. Verse 16 starts, "Then some of the sons of Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold. And David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, 'If you've come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment.'" He says, if you've come here to betray me, if you've come here to slander me, to falsely accuse me, he says, because there is nothing wrong, because I am innocent, may God bring judgment down upon you. Unfortunately, we live in a world where slander and false gossip and false accusations just come at people right and left. And the people that say those things often are very unconcerned about the damage that they can bring. But David, after being falsely accused here, wants God to know and others to know as well that he is innocent. He is innocent. And that this slander, these false accusations hurt. They're very hurtful. In the next five verses, it's a plea for judgment now. He's proclaimed his innocence in the first five. Now he pleads for judgment to take place. It's almost like there's a court scene here with God sitting upon the throne. Verse 6, "Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment you have commanded. So the congregation of the people shall surround you. For their sakes, therefore, return on high. The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and minds. My defense is of God who saves the upright in heart." David here makes a very bold utterance. "Arise, O Lord, in your anger." See, David wants God to be angry at what these people or this person has done. David knows the damage that this slander, these false accusations can do. So he wants God, the judge of all the world, to rise up in anger. He says, "Lift up. Lift yourself up because of my enemies. Do something about my enemies." He's wanting God to take vengeance. Now, he's not taking vengeance himself. Just like we know we're not to take vengeance. The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. That belongs to God. That is not part of what we do. It's up to God. So he pleads for Jehovah here. "Sit on your throne. Dispense justice." That's what David wants. He wants justice to prevail. In Psalms 9, just a page or so over in your Bibles, beginning in verse 7, we have this same scene of a throne and God sitting on it. Beginning in verse 7 of Psalms 9, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness." He's going to judge righteously. Every judgment he makes will be perfectly right, perfectly true, Not a single mistake. We know in our legal system in America, and I'm sure throughout the world, mistakes are made every day. False accusations are made. People lie when they're on the stand. They'll lie to the jury. They'll lie to the judge. It happens every day. David here says, God, you are on the throne and you know all. You can judge rightly. You know exactly the truth of this matter. You know I am innocent. You know what my enemies have done. You can dispense justice. So we have this scene of the opening of the court and the petitioner, who's David, crying out. He cries out for justice. That's all he wants. He just wants justice. Have you ever been at that point in your life where that's what you want? You just want justice. You want justice to prevail. You don't want more than justice. You just want justice. He prays for righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. In Psalm 58, later on, we have these words in verse 11. This is also considered to be one of David's Psalms. The very last verse of that Psalm, Psalm 58, says this, verse 11. So that men will say, surely there is a reward for the righteous. Surely he is God who judges in the earth. David says, judge me according to my righteousness. Judge me according to my integrity. David says, I'm a person of integrity. I have not done these bad things that I'm accused of. I'm innocent. David says, please bring justice. And he knows God can do that because, he says, the righteous God tests the hearts and the minds. See, that's the difference between a human judge and God as the judge, because a human judge cannot look inside the mind of those in the court. The judge cannot read that person's mind. But God can. He knows every secret thought in every person's mind. He knows that David's innocent. He knows who the enemy is. He knows what the enemy has done. God knows everything. In Psalm 26, this is emphasized for us in verse 2. Psalm 26, verse 2 says this, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, or test me. Try my mind and my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. David says, look at me, examine me. Examine every thought, every motive, everything, and you'll see that I am upright. And you'll see that my enemies deserve judgment. And he says, God saves the upright in heart. Says, my defense is of God. That's where we go for our defense, is God. Our enemies have no power over God. They have no power over the truth. None at all. And then the last thing David does in this psalm is he has a petition for justice. Verse 11 and through the end of the chapter. David writes, God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow and makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows into fiery shafts. Behold, the wicked brings forth iniquity. Yes, he conceives trouble and brings forth falsehood. He made a pit and dug it out and has fallen into the ditch which he made. His trouble shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own crown. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. David declares that God is just. He's a just judge, and that he's angry with the wicked every single day. Every day. In Nahum chapter 1, this prophet has some words about the wicked and what will happen to the wicked. Went too far again, just like I did this morning. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2 and then verse 6. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2 says, God is jealous and the Lord avenges. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. Then verse 6, who can stand before his indignation, and who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. A rather graphic portrayal of God's judgment upon the enemies, the adversaries. God is angry with the wicked, and he's angry with the wicked every day because of their choices to be wicked. No, they weren't born wicked. They weren't born evil. They became evil by their choices, by their influences. Because God is a righteous judge, Christians can look forward to his execution of justice. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, this is exactly what Paul told the church in Thessalonica. He says there in 2 Thessalonians, beginning in chapter 1, verse 5, talking about the Christians' persecutions and tribulations that they endure, he says, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now he says, these are Christians he's writing to. By inspiration, he says, to you who are troubled, rest with us. Rest with us, because God is going to take vengeance one day. He's going to avenge your enemies. So he says, take rest with that. And so that is going to be a day of justice. That's going to be a day of justice on God's enemies, on our enemies. David uses some expressions here in verses 12 and 13 about Jehovah has bent his bow and made it ready. And by the way, God's arrows never, ever miss. Never miss. He says he prepares for himself instruments of death. He makes his arrows fiery shafts. Again, showing that God is going to take vengeance on the wicked. Why? The wicked bring forth iniquity. The wicked conceive trouble. The wicked tell lies. The wicked slander. The wicked make false accusations. But he says the wicked are going to fall by their own devices. He says the wicked made a pit and dug it out, and then he fell into it. Fell into his own pit. His own violent dealing shall come down on his crown. This is a common theme in several of the Psalms. In Psalm 9, verse 15, the nations have sunk down in the pit which they made. In the net which they hid, their own foot is caught. Psalms 141, verses 8 through 10, similar type of language. He says, the wicked deserve no pity. But he ends on a high note. says, I'm going to praise the Lord because of His righteousness, because of His right dealings. He's called the Lord Most High. He says, I'm going to continually praise Him. I'm going to continually thank Him for all that He's done and for the fact that one day He's going to judge the world in righteousness. Slander is a terrible evil, but it's going to be with us until Christ returns. God's people have always been the recipients of false accusations and persecution. And sometimes, even though we do things with the best of intentions, we can still be credited with the worst of motives by the wicked, by the evil man. Yes, slander is a terrible sin. It's a terrible sin. But God's people will continue to be the recipients of those false accusations and false gossip and slander throughout our time on earth. But He says, rest with us, because there is a day of judgment, there's a day of justice, and God the righteous judge will take vengeance. Not you, not me, but God will take vengeance. Why? Because He's the perfect judge. Sees everything, knows every single thought and intent and motive. He knows everything in everybody's heart and mind. And that's why He's the perfect, just judge. So no wonder Paul told the Thessalonian Christians, rest with us, because that day is coming. For us, it means that we need to be prepared for that day. And that we need to make sure that we're never guilty of slandering someone or spreading false gossip about someone or falsely accusing someone. We need to be people with honest and true hearts. Tonight, this invitation song is for each of us to examine our hearts. Just like God does, examine our hearts and see if there's a need for us to respond. And if there is, I encourage you to do that as we stand and sing this song.